You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Concerns over another surge. I'm Lisa Lacera, Fox News. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says even though more people in the U.S. are getting vaccinated against COVID-19, she says cases of the virus have gone up slightly while deaths have decreased, though she says that's a lagging indicator.
I am worried that if we don't take the right actions now, we will have another avoidable surge.
And she says in some regions like the upper Midwest and Northeast, they are already seeing a rise in cases. This is the nation's second largest school district, prepares to reopen, even as most parents are hesitant to send their kids back.
While the CDC says students only need to be spaced 3 feet apart now while wearing masks, the Los Angeles Unified School District is sticking with 6 feet. The school superintendent, Austin Buettner, says half of families answered their survey and only 42% want to return to school.
So if we did the math now and assumed no additional students would attend school in person, that would mean about 28% of elementary school students will return to schools in April, 17% of middle schoolers, and a bit more than 10% of high schoolers.
Buettner said Black and Latino families are the most hesitant to return, so he says they're partnering with St. John's to open two vaccination sites for students' families in East L.A. and South L.A. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
AstraZeneca says its vaccine provides strong protection against the virus among adults in a U.S. study. The company says the vaccine was 79% effective in preventing symptomatic cases, including in older people, and it says none of the study volunteers who were vaccinated were hospitalized or developed severe disease. It also says its expert didn't identify any safety concerns, including a risk of blood clots that was found in some people who took their shot in Europe. Reports of an active shooter at a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado. The Boulder Police SWAT team is reportedly on scene. America is listening to Fox News.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor. Find your balance. Keep riding. And if you stop, put your feet down.
So you don't fall.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Businesses that run like clockwork establish routines they trust. That's why over a million companies rely on Cintas. We'll help you protect employees and customers with essential safety supplies, inspect your fire protection systems and devices, hygienically launder your uniforms, and keep you well-stocked with the leading hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes. Learn how Cintas can help you open your doors with confidence.
Oh, I'm ready!
Visit Cintas.com and get ready for the workday.
Former President Trump's congressional allies is mounting a challenge to a key Georgia official once seen as preventing Trump from investigating claims of impropriety during the 2020 election.
Georgia Republican Congressman Jody Heiss is announcing a primary challenge to Georgia's Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. The latter had been made an enemy of former President Donald Trump when not agreeing to conduct involved investigations into voting irregularities, among other things. Heiss says he'll restore integrity to the role of Secretary of State and Georgia's elections. Political parties in Georgia have been accusing each other of cheating or suppressing votes. Eben Brown, Fox News.
Texas civil rights lawyer Lee Merritt has announced he's running for attorney general. Merritt will challenge Republican Ken Paxton. He tweeted over the weekend that Texas deserves an attorney general who will fight for the constitutional rights of all citizens. A delivery service that's partnered with a big box store dealing with driver complaints.
DoorDash says it's taking steps to address frustrations from independent drivers making deliveries for Walmart. Americans are used to tipping for food deliveries, but haven't been tipping for Walmart orders or tip very little. DoorDash drivers have also complained about long waits to pick up orders. DoorDash surveyed its more than 1 million independent drivers last month, asking specifically about Walmart. Walmart stepped up partnerships with DoorDash and other delivery services to help it to compete with Amazon. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.
Sacha Baron Cohen's Borat subsequent movie film and Promising Young Woman were the big winners at last night's 73rd Annual Writers Guild Awards. The Borat film took the honors for Best Adapted Screenplay, while Promising Young Woman won for Best Original Screenplay. The awards were pre-recorded and virtual. I'm Lee Silicera, and this is Fox News.
Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning. Here's your ESPN Radio 3-day forecast brought to you by the state of Illinois.
Yeah, baby.
Lon's favorite. COVID vaccination has begun in Illinois. Getting Woo-hoo! The vaccine when it's available to you means we can get back to life, to freedom, to travel, to normal.
I get my second shot Wednesday.
Excellent. If you are in the media, you are now eligible to get one.
Really?
In phase 1C. So if for some reason you're an employee of this or another station hearing this,
you can get a... So why are we as media that important? I can promise you we're not.
I mean, technically it is essential because if there's like a tornado or an Amber Alert or something, we have to broadcast
that. That makes sense.
But what you have to say is not life essential.
No.
For sure. Anyways, when one of us gets vaccinated, we're all safer and stronger. Visit coronavirus.illinois.gov for more information. Right now it is 63 and partly sunny. However, there is rain in the forecast all week long. Temperatures will remain nice. 61 tomorrow, 64 Wednesday, 57 Thursday, but 30% chance of thunderstorms each of those 3 days.
Okay.
Right now it is 63 and cloudy, ESPN Radio.
I mean, it should be raining today.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
Well, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise, who I still can't really talk into coming on with us. He's just a little... Trevor, we've got to have you on a little bit this hour because we want to hear your raw emotion. That's what Derek and I... And we're being serious. That's, I mean, because you are what 98% of Illinois fans are.
It just feels so staged to me. Like, if I feel like being quietly salt in the woundish about it, if I come on here and say, like, I'm not like that, you know what I mean?
I know.
Like, I'd rather sulk in quiet than,
that's fine.
Than be like, well, here's my five takes from the game, because I don't have any.
I know.
They lost wire to wire. They literally never led once in the game, which is only the second time in NCAA history that a one seed has never led for any point of a game.
Wow.
So I don't really know what to say. Like, that just sucked.
Well, I'll do this, because you wrote down some of these. You just mentioned Illinois, of course, lost 71-58. They become the second one seed ever to never lead in a tournament game. After 42 straight games in double figures, Io ends his Illini career with 9.6 turnovers. 9.6 turnovers. How did that happen, Io?
I just think we didn't get in the rhythm offensively. We didn't really, I don't know. I don't think we really got in a rhythm. How we wanted to be, how we normally be. You know, like I said, you know, credits to them. They had a great game plan. They executed the game plan well. So, yeah, credits to them.
Guarded him. I mean, they got up into ball screens very hard and were very, very aggressive in him and made him pass the ball or try to pass the ball. He got downhill a few times and missed a couple of easy ones early. But, again, it was a tough night. You know, Io doesn't have six turnovers very often, and they made it tough for him to get to the rim.
Trevor doesn't know what we're talking about. Here's some more stats. After 17 straight games with at least 5-plus points, Trent ends his Illini career going 1-for-10. He missed that layup, but did look like he got pushed on that layup.
Yeah, when he missed that one, you're just like, ooh. Not his day.
That, well, I was like, it's not anybody's day at that point.
Good call.
After nine straight games with at least one made shot, Demonte ends his career with 0 points.
He had 2 points from the free throw line.
Oh, zero. My bad. Zero shots made. After 31 straight games scoring at least 65-plus points, Illinois ended the year scoring 58. And all credit to Loyola. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're incredible defensively. But part of that game plan is to slow you down on the other end as well. And that's what they do offensively, eating up so much clock before they get there. I mean, this was a team that you looked ahead and you thought, oh, crap. Just because of the way they play. I mean, like, give me Houston. Give me Oklahoma State. Give me a team that's going to get out and run with LSU. Illinois. LSU. I mean, that's why every year you hear, well, it's all about the matchups. Now, I still will sit here and say that Illinois should still beat Loyola of Chicago. But they do play that style of game that you're like, ugh. And it's just so annoying. I'm so glad my team doesn't play that style. But you see it out of Wisconsin, and you've seen what it's done for them the last decade. What, a couple of Final Four runs, championship run, they got beat. And then you look at what it does for Loyola Chicago. I mean, you have to have mentally players that will play that. Because do you know how hard that is for a guy to get the ball from 16 feet wide open and sit there and say to himself, nope, I got to run another 15 off this clock. That's not easy to do. And, of course, that Loyola team, they're so good at it, and they're so good at executing. Okay, and then after 13 straight games and Marquise Kennedy scoring 10 or fewer, he goes for 15. He's a Chicago product. Largest run of the game for Illini was 5-0. Loyola shot 52%, made 6 of their last 7 field goals. I think that was the most frustrating thing of all of it, is that you just could not draw near in that game. You could not get to within a point where you sat there and thought, yep, here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you mentioned it there early in the game. There are just signs of this isn't the Dan Dockers. This isn't going to end well for Illinois.
Right.
And there was a transition opportunity early for Loyola where Trent doesn't get out on Braden Norris at all, and he gets a wide open catch and shoot three.
Yep.
And that's a guy that's shooting 46, 47% from three. You have Tate Hall come, or no, it's Jacob Hudson come off the bench for Loyola. He gets it at the top of the key, and Georgie closes out on him like he's a 40% shooter. He made 2 threes all year.
Yeah.
Goes by him and scores. It's like Illinois had never seen a scouting report of Loyola. And I said it to you during the break.
You did.
I don't want to make excuses for Illinois, and I do think that it was unfortunate that you got a tough draw with Loyola in the eight, and I think that a team like LSU, just based on their style, as far as that's a high-powered scoring team, and you want to just put it on the floor and say, who can score more tonight?
Let's go.
That works a lot better for Illinois. Although I do think Loyola made of the Wisconsin mold. We saw what Illinois did to Wisconsin this year.
Yeah, good point.
Like with their athleticism and to have the benefit inside of the size. But I think that more time, if you would have drawn Loyola in the Sweet 16 and had essentially a whole week to prepare for them and to watch them on film and say, these are their actions. This is how we're going to attack it. If they hurt us this way, we're going to adjust this way. To have it on a 48-hour turn was tough for Illinois, and clearly very tough,
yeah,
in that they did not prepare well at all. And Loyola had the answers for Illinois. And again, but you're a one seed.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to maybe not even just like plow through them, but you're supposed to win that game. You're supposed to find a way to win that game, and they should have.
And I'll tell you, and I know you can't overlook anybody, and I'm sure if I was a coach of any team, any number one seed getting ready to face the 16, but then knowing what 8-9 presents, and maybe they do this, you got 3 assistants that are main assistants. I'd be like, all right, Gentry, you've got the Loyola scout. Chen, you've got the Georgia Tech scout. And Orlando, you've got the Drexel scout. And I would spend a day on Drexel, and then I'd spend a day on Georgia Tech, and I'd spend a day on Loyola Chicago. And then when it got to it, now, we've seen Virginia, number one seed, get beat. That's happened once. The chances of a one seed losing to a 16 are slim, and maybe this is what they did. I would have been working on those other scouts leading up to that game. You've got a week to lead up to that game. You knew Sunday, last Sunday, who you were going to play Friday.
That's plenty of time to work. Then you've already worked each team once. And I'd love to ask Brad Underwood this. Maybe the next time we talk to him or Stephen Gentry or one of the guys, I'll ask him that. And, of course, they may say, guys, that's fine. You do that, Lon. And then you get beat as a one seed because you didn't give Drexel their due. And he's probably right on that.
I know he said that his coaching staff was prepared as far as the opponents and had one dive into
one.
And all that. I think you raise a valid point, though. How much in practice time
right.
was Illinois addressing Loyola going into Drexel?
And maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you can't. Maybe right. Brad Underwood would hear me talk about that right now on the show and be like, Lon, shut up, dude. You can't do that. You can't just assume that you're going to beat a team in the NCAA tournament.
Or that they're
going to
win.
That's exactly right. Or that Loyola, you might spend all week on Loyola and Georgia Tech's your opponent. So I could understand that, but I would think if you could do one day a scout on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, one day a scout on all three of those teams, one day, Thursday, you just worry about yourself, you play the game Friday, and then Saturday, guess what? Well, this is the team. We've scouted them one day. Let's work on it again. But again, I'm simplifying things way too easy. I just know that I'm simplifying things too easily. The idea of trying to come back in that game and the frustration of never getting back into it. Brad touched on that afterwards.
Well, they did a really good job in their ball screen coverage. And again, with a veteran team, Porter's able to do a lot of different things. We didn't expect them to play a deep ball screen coverage, which they had done a lot. And they got up and really did a good job of boxing us in. And we didn't do a very good job of playing out of it. We had some two or three, four turnovers real early. And again, you know, we said this was a team that was very much like an Indiana team we faced defensively, and we didn't handle it very well, and again, give them credit.
Well, and that is Brad Underwood, and of course, for all of us, a lot of us, or if not all, are sitting there saying, what adjustments did Illinois make during that game as a coaching staff? I didn't see any, and I was screaming at the TV, do something. I mean, throw a 1-3-1 at him. I don't know. And then I frustratingly watched Syracuse later that night, and I'm sitting there going, you know what? You can laugh at old Jimmy Boeheim in this 1-3-1, but every year, imagine being the second game against Syracuse every year. I'd love to know what their record is on that second game, where teams only have one day to scout a 1-3-1, a lengthy 1-3-1 against them. I mean, that is Jim Boeheim years ago said, I'm going to put out a 1-3-1 zone, and that's what I'm going to live with, and that's going to be my calling card. And he's won a national title. Now, it took a stud to do it, but certainly kind of like Doug alluded to in the first hour, I mean, he's always getting his teams deep in this tournament. And it's just, I just wish they could do that, but I'm rambling now. But the in-game adjustments, I just kept wanting something, whether it be switch on defense, whether it be something else on offense, get the ball and go. Throw a little baby press out there. Do something other than what you're doing right now, because what you're doing right now is not working. Brad touched on the adjustments the team did make during that game.
Yeah, we put everybody in them. We tried putting Io in shakes to get him going. I thought, we tried establishing Kofi. We didn't go early enough to Kofi. I thought we missed him, and when we did go to him early, missed three or four. But, we tried everything in the bag. Everything that's been made us one of the most efficient offensive teams today, just for whatever reason, didn't work. And, you know, Trent goes 1-for-10, and he's been playing great. And, but you can't turn it over 17 times in an NCAA tournament game against a good team and expect to win. And turnovers were the undoing.
Yeah, and he's right on that, Trevor.
I was just going to say, Syracuse is 23-6.
Wow.
In the second game of an NCAA tournament.
If you're a young coach, Kevin Kruger, Lon Kruger's son, just named head coach at UNLV, why not? How come nobody else does that?
Well, it's like Army in the triple option.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I always wondered why nobody else emulates what Jim Boeheim does at Syracuse.
Because it doesn't work on the long haul. I mean, they were like 13-10 this season, but they got in, and now they're. It's easy to exploit. I guess if you have it over a 26 game sample size, but when you have it on a 1 day turn for just 40 minutes, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, that's fair. I was going to read a 217, and then I got a question to ask you about recruiting, Derek. 217 said, no excuses. Coaches get paid millions to exploit matchups. Illinois flat out got beat with little to no adjustments made. Every team in the tournament is in the same boat. The better coaches, teams advance. Illinois didn't get it done from players to coaches. I do think there's times where there's a hiccup or just an upset on a fluke play. I mean, I think there are times that that happens. But, yeah, I mean, consistently overall, I don't disagree.
Yeah, or when the other team just shoots an unreal percentage from three, whatever. It's like they're red hot, but they just out-executed you, out-coached you, and that's where it was. It wasn't the matter of if one shot goes in or not. There wasn't that in this game. It was they are just far more prepared, running what they're running in full control of the game, and you don't have answers.
No,
and here's the thing. The transitive property doesn't even hold up here. Georgia Tech scored more than you did without their best player.
Good call.
Didn't lose by as many points. Wisconsin blasted Loyola by 15 earlier in the year.
Well, if any team's going to know what they're doing. I know that
they've progressed and developed throughout the year, right, but it's just like you can't even look at this and go like, you know, like what if they lose to Oregon State in the next round or something?
Yep.
Then it invalidates it even more so to me because it's like, I mean, Georgia Tech just scored more points in the paint and more points overall without their best player, who is a post player, than Illinois did.
It just adds to the frustration. I mean, Illinois just didn't play well. And Loyola is a big reason for that. And I thought Loyola did exactly what they had to do. They executed. They bled clock. I mean, they did exactly what they needed to do to beat you.
Can I ask you, as someone who watched it on TV, the first half, and Trevor as well, did you notice, like, I've been asked this plenty, and I obviously was there in person, but as far as a lack of effort or edge or something that was lacking from that, I think a couple of guys had it, like an Adam Miller, and some didn't. I even thought that Kofi in the first round, where he wasn't rebounding, I was like, is he tired? Is he feeling the wear and tear of
five
this?
Rebounds in the first round, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you've, like I said, played all those road games going into the Big Ten tournament, put all this investment in, we got to win this, we got to be dominant. Was there a hangover there for a guy like him and for some other guys?
I think you said the word, it was an E word, but it wasn't the first one you said. I think it's edge. I feel like Illinois got slapped in the face, and Brad said they put us on our heels early in that game. And it was then, from then on, it felt like for instance, me watching it, Trevor, you can tell me different. When there was 12 minutes to play in the first half, there may as well have been 12 minutes to play in the game. I was already nervous to the point of you're not coming back against this team. I just don't think we have the time, the way that Loyola's playing, that to come back in this game. And you look for it, like Porter Moser. We all grew up like playing athletics, and you'd play against that one dude that maybe wasn't the best player on the court, but he's slapping his hands and he's all, and you're like, dude, settle down. But guess what? That guy and his team win. And Porter Moser early in that early in that game is just clapping his hands. He's all over him. He's hyper as heck. And that entire Loyola team came out with that energy, and Illinois didn't.
I definitely think you were the hunted again, which has not worked out well for you this year for whatever reason. But I mean, at the same time, you're hunting a national title.
Exactly.
So I don't
There's plenty to still hunt.
I don't know how you could possibly not be up for that. And it's not like Friday you expended maximum effort. I mean, no offense to Drexel, but it's not like that was a double overtime thriller to where you go back and ice up all night.
No, you know right, what I mean? Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm with you, though. After he said it, he said, where's the punch back?
Yep.
That's what he said. I'm waiting for Illinois to punch back. Because he just saw it in the Big Ten tournament for two straight days there, the games he called. Like, there was no punch back. The best punch back was you had two slightly higher ball screens with Curbelo and Kofi at the end of that first half. Then whatever momentum you may have had was forced to stop because it was halftime.
Right, you got it at the wrong time.
And then you come out in the second half and it's just the same thing.
Yep.
It was death by 1,000 paper cuts in terms of the pace of that game.
Great call.
And there were some of those effort plays that Curbelo made for the loose balls. Like when he essentially dove like three times down the court in the backcourt to save that ball or try to. And that really stood out. But the fact that it stood out said a lot about where Illinois was. Like why is he the one guy that is showing, like, it felt like in the Big Ten tournament, Illinois approached it like they needed it.
Yes.
Like, we need this. And they didn't look like they needed it yesterday. Mm-mm.
And I'll tell you this, the other thing. And again, we've all played athletics. There is an idea when you step on a court or a baseball diamond or a football field, maybe you were that guy or girl, or maybe you know your teammate was that person, that you looked at them and said, okay, everything's going to be okay. And Iowa in that game was 6 turnovers and just not being able to get shots off because of Loyola doing what they had done and us not making adjustments to get that and him not playing downhill instead of uphill. There were times I'd look at Iowa and I'm like, he looks like tentative.
Yes.
Like he looks like he knows that they're in for a dogfight here and that they may not win this game. And when your alpha, if you will, looks like that, and I know coming out of halftime, Kofi and Io met, if you saw this, Trevor, on TV, they met like, you know, before they tipped it off, right before I left my house, and they both had this grin. Well, Kofi had this grin on his face, like, come on, like, let's go. But I was like, I almost feel like, it's rehearsed, like they're trying to get that mojo. I know they're not rehearsed. I mean, I know that he was trying to get it, but I just got that feeling like even as a fan, when I looked at the body language of Io, I'm like, we're in trouble. Because if that's my stud,
yep,
and he's looking like he's looking right now, then what do you think Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo and Kofi and those guys staring at him going, well, listen, I mean, Io looks like he's not playing with any confidence here, so I don't think we got a shot at this game.
I'm sure Wally Szczerbiak was loving that back in the studio.
Oh, man.
Like the floor slaps down 9.
I know.
Right,
I know.
And you love the floor slap when you're on a 50-9 run against Northwestern, right? But then you see that when you cut it from 9-7, and it's like, guys, like I'm not digging the floor slap right now.
Yeah.
Honestly, the one encouraging thing I'd take away from this game is exactly what you guys just hit on, is that the two players that looked like they truly gave a damn were your two freshmen.
That's a good point.
That's my only positive takeaway from that game.
Adam Miller, who, again, is not being covered like Io was. Let's be honest. They were not throwing the kitchen sink at Adam Miller. But you could see, and James Williams said this to us. Dave Williams said this to, like, don't worry about Adam. And I don't worry about Io either. I mean, there were plenty of times in games in his career in 3 years. I mean, he's an All-American. There were plenty of times where you'd get that look in Iowa and you're like, oh boy, look out. Adam Miller wasn't scared of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I don't think Andre Curbelo was scared of the moment either. I just think Illinois early on could not figure out what was happening in that game. And the next thing you know, you're down 14 points to a team that now has you. It's like being restricted by an anaconda. Once you figure out that the snake is like, oh, crap, I'm in trouble, it's because he's wrapped around you, and every time you breathe, he's going tighter. And I felt like Illinois at some point just finally was like, oh, man, we're down 14, and it's exactly what this team needs to do to beat us, because now they're going to sit on the clock or sit on the ball for 40 seconds or however long. What is the shot clock, 40? How do I not know, like, the most
24, right?
Oh, is it only that? That's the NBA.
It's 30.
Yeah. 30.
It went from 35 down to
30. That's right.
A 40.
How do we not, for as much basketball as we watch, how do we not know that off the top?
It's those little things like that that you don't even pay attention to.
If the shot clock was 40, I would bleed from watching basketball games for my eyes.
You would have loved the four corners back in Lou Henson days, man. No, you wouldn't have. But yeah, you're right. It was suffocating.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point in the way that Io responded to he was shell-shocked. He was rattled.
I agree.
And you could tell, and it was like he felt kind of helpless and not having the answer. And they were coming from, like, the backside to pop it out of his hands. And, yep. Like,
unbelievable.
It was fantastic by Loyola, but it was just Illinois could not figure it out, and he could not figure it out. And when I said that Illinois didn't seem like they needed it, I'm not questioning like whether they wanted to win that game. It was just kind of like you said, just from Iowa on down, there were only a couple of guys that really responded well to what Loyola was throwing at you, and some of the others were just like,
yep,
oh boy.
I mean,
I don't think that they didn't want it, but I think one team wanted it more than the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you just look at things like that little MJ swipe that they did on Kofi, yep, there, right? Like, yep, when has that happened this year? That's the first time it's happened. Because they notice that when he pulls down an offensive board and regathers, he just stands there for 5 seconds.
That's a good call.
So then Krutwig just comes in and swipes it away. He did it again on Iowa towards the end of that game, and then it went off Iowa's leg out of bounds.
Yep.
Like, just the little, sort of like you would say, little brother poking and prodding. And I'm not taking that little brother metaphor in the sense of the teams playing this game, but just in life.
Yeah,
I agree. They know how to push your buttons. You know what I mean? Like, Loyola seemed very good at being able to push Illinois' buttons in that sense.
Yep, and they were doing it. And once Loyola felt it, then they were the team with nothing to lose. Let's go finish them. And Illinois looked like the team that was on their heels. Like Brad said, they were fighting uphill. Whatever term you want to use, that's what it looked like. And it was frustrating to watch.
They didn't even fake rally, though.
No, they didn't.
Like the Ohio State home game, you end up losing by 6, even though you're down by 20 the whole game. And it's like, well, gee, where was that effort earlier?
Yeah.
I can't even sit here and say, where was that effort earlier?
Yeah, I agree.
You lost by 13. You were down by 10 at halftime. You were down by 9 1 minute into the game.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't even a point where I'm like, if you just extrapolate those 5 minutes and do them for another 5 minutes, you would have won. Like, that was just garbage for 40 minutes.
It was. You were, like you said, coming into the show today, to us, because you couldn't get on the show, is you were just down 8, then 10, then 12, then 11, then 8, then 9, and you just could never come back. And it's just frustrating. I don't know. It's frustrating. And the thing that really bothered me, how about when Norris is bringing the ball up, throw two guys at him at half court, trap him. If Loyola's going to eat up all 30 anyway, then they're not going to burn you on a layup. Because then that's how you get that going. That's how you speed a team up. You trap high, get it to another guy, and all of a sudden he goes, well, wait a minute. I got a wide open look from 15. Why am I not taking this? Well, then they shoot one and they miss it, and you get the rebound. Then the next time down, we're getting away from our game plan here. We're speeding this game up, and we don't need to. We need to slow it back down. You got to try something.
Just uncharacteristic things. Like, DeMonte's three was sort of this.
Yeah.
Like, he pulled the ball off the ground and shot it, and I'm like, dude, that's not your shot. You have to be set. You know, like, he wasn't taking his normal shots. He had another weird, like, post-hook.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Runner.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I appreciate him trying. But need him coming off the ball screen with the ball. Like,
Georgie shooting a three.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's gripping the bat too tight in the postseason, right?
It's just so confounding because they responded to that every single time it's happened so far this year, for the most part.
No, you're right.
The Ohio State run, they responded. They went in overtime.
Yep.
You know, I mean, even at Ohio State 10 in the regular season, they were down like 5 with 2 minutes left and won. it was so disappointing to not see that.
I know.
It wasn't close.
Yeah, right.
That's
exactly.
What's killing me right now.
Exactly.
Like, I can't even pick 5 moments to be like, switch those out and win.
No, there wasn't. All right, when we come back, we could look at the rest of these brackets. You want to go through our brackets and just how crazy this is? But I guess according to Beer Can Kurt, I'm 12th. Or no, there's only 12 teams beating me. So good for you guys. I have a feeling it might be more than that, although unless you all had Illinois. Ohio all of a sudden can't miss.
Love it.
They're up 19-16. Creighton playing right with them.
UCLA blowing out Abilene Christian.
Ooh. Who beat Abilene Christian? Oh, Texas.
They beat Texas.
Yeah, there were 7 schools from Texas in this thing, I think, which is a record, I believe. All right, your text, if you want to call us, you can, 359-2255. We may just dial it in the last of the show here because I want to watch Ohio.
You had a recruiting question you wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah, I want to ask you that.
We can do that.
I want to ask you a what if next year, or for next year. We'll do that next. It's the Drive.
Hi, this is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you want a locally owned family business to help you always be comfortable, who have trained, talented, licensed, and experienced technicians, then call me to schedule an appointment. We'll check your furnace to make sure it'll keep you warm this winter. And just like our name, ABC, you will always be comfortable. We are a licensed Amana dealer and are standing by to help you anytime, day or night. Call me, Gina, at 352-5400 or at abcheatingandac.com.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham and Urbana.
Hey, it's Jay Lehman, former Illini All-American linebacker. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is your home for appliance repair. When buying a new appliance doesn't fit into your budget, Dick Van Dyke is also the go-to for fixing your old one. Dick Van Dyke technicians are ranked number one for appliance repair, winning three consecutive Reader's Choice Awards. Schedule service by phone or visit online 24/7 at appliance-world.com. That's appliance-world.com. Hi, I'm Jay Lehman, Fighting Illini linebacker and Rose Bowl team captain. Do you need a new kitchen countertop? Look no further than Luther Falls Kitchen and Bath, located on North Mattis in Champaign. If you buy a countertop in March, you get entered into a raffle to win a 65-inch flat-screen TV. Just in time for March Madness, a 65-inch flat-screen TV. Luther Falls Kitchen and Bath, a three-generation business in Champaign on North Mattis at lutherfalls.com.
My name is Mark Flumacher, and I am a Champaign County farmer. Champaign County has been my family's home for four generations. I farm to preserve and conserve the soil and water. I farm to be a worthy steward of this ground that I call home. I farm so that both my family and yours can enjoy the wonders that come from the changing of the seasons. Champaign County is home, and I farm so the next generations can also have the joy of calling Champaign County home. Champaign County Farmers Care, a message from the Champaign County Farm Bureau.
When hiring someone to clean your home or office, you may not say it, but you're thinking it.
I don't even know who you are.
Well, Ram Clean is local, with a trained, talented, and trustworthy staff that cleans your home quickly and efficiently. Ram Clean provides a 150% satisfaction guarantee, and their goal for every job is to exceed your expectations. Trust Ram Clean for any cleaning job, large or small. With 5-star Google reviews, you can trust locally owned Ram Clean. Go to ramclean.com for details. That's ramclean.com.
Hey, your sage latte. Last week, pretty much everything I said was wrong, which everybody should be accustomed to that by now. Ohio, by the way, tied with Creighton right now, 19-all. UCLA winning big over Abilene Christian. It would be nice to play North Texas or Abilene Christian in the second round. And you know what? That could happen next year. Illinois could get there as a 5 seed, and then you beat the 12, and then you're playing the 14 seed that, or whatever, however it breaks down. Last week, I sat there and told you guys how the Pac-12 is horrible. And I also told you, do not worry about the first two rounds for Illinois. So then we come in today after Illinois gets whipped by Loyola, and then you look at the Pac-12, Oregon State's in the Sweet 16. Oregon just smoked Iowa to get to the Sweet 16. UCLA is going to beat Abilene Christian to get to the Sweet 16.
Oh, USC if and they USC beat Kansas, if, and Colorado if they beat Florida.
Yeah, Colorado.
So the Pac-12 right now is 6-7-8-0.
I feel like you have to throw some qualifiers in there, though. I mean,
they're 8-0!
Beating BYU, beating a Georgetown team that wasn't even in the tournament discussion a week ago.
I know.
But still, I guess, you know, credit to them.
And the Big Ten is what? What are they overall?
I don't know.
Michigan State lost. Illinois lost. Ohio State lost. Purdue lost.
So Michigan State and Ohio State and Purdue, that's 0-3. Illinois, that'd be 1-4.
Wisconsin would make it 2-5.
2-5.
1-1.
Michigan, 3-5.
Iowa won one game.
So 4-6.
4-6.
Maryland won.
5-6. Michigan and Rutgers won. Went 1-1.
Rutgers, yeah. So
6-7.
6-7, is that right?
Going into tonight's two games.
Okay.
But to be in the Big Ten tournament, have four teams in that Final Four all ranked in the top 10. And then, like you said, kind of with the, now it seems annoying, the most analytically tough
right
conference, which I've said before, we can't look at KenPom, which only dates back to 2001, and say it's the greatest conference ever. I think that you kind of got to throw in the since 2000 or 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if only one team or possibly no teams from that conference get to the Sweet 16, like that's just crazy.
You know what makes even less sense about that is A, they were all already in Indy. So they just sat there for a week and they were already accustomed to the pro. Not that I, you know, it's whatever. That's pretty existential stuff, I guess. But, and then B.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Maybe they just sat around for a week, I guess. But B, I couldn't figure out why this happened, but like 8 of the 9 Big Ten teams played at Mackey, an arena they're already familiar with.
Yeah.
Not that it matters that much, but again, you would almost think that the contextual stuff set up well for the Big Ten because they were already in the city.
Yeah.
And they were playing in an arena they've already played in at least once this year.
I'll bring up something I brought up to Austin again this morning too, Berkland. And I told him, it seemed like back in the day, Tom Izzo and Michigan State would always play an out-of-conference game late in February. And it was almost like, interesting. And now you see, like, the Big Ten now plays 20 games against each other. And I almost would rather it's, and I don't know, I'm shooting fish in a barrel right here, or whatever you call it, although that doesn't make any sense because then you'd hit them. None of my points hit. But it's one of those where it's almost like you get so used to playing a certain style, and I'm not even talking about the physical style because I thought the officials have let, they let Illinois play. So we can't use the whole, well, the Big Ten teams get in and that kind of stuff. I think that has been valid in the past, but it wasn't this year. But it's almost as though, and then Austin brought up a good point. All the SIUs of the world, or the Gonzagas back when they weren't Gonzaga yet, they used to do those, what would they call that? There would be one day where all these teams would meet up and play. Do you recall what that was called? I wish I remembered that. So you might have an Ohio playing Gonzaga. And it was just like they tried to take some of the best mid-majors and they put them together for one day and you played somebody outside your conference. And I started thinking to myself, and again, I'm just throwing things out here because I cannot figure out how the Big Ten is just getting destroyed right now. But it's almost like you get used to that style of playing teams and you almost forget what it takes to remember what this team could do. It's almost like, all right, we got Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State the next three games. You guys go to sleep tonight and think about everything they do because you're going to know what they do. Whereas all of a sudden you're playing Villanova, and it's like, hey, guys, we're playing Villanova Thursday. Here's a whole new scout on how, you know, the Big East, the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, how they play different. Am I just way out of
I don't know. It's hard to figure out. Now,
Busters. Yeah, I am. You're right. Thank you, Trevor. I deserve that.
They shouldn't. They don't deserve the excuses.
You're right.
They should show up and win games.
They haven't won a title since 2000.
Yeah. I get when I played Baylor earlier in the year. They played Missouri. And I know that's far removed. Like, you go back to December, like, Iowa played Gonzaga, and you can find plenty of examples. I could see there would be value in playing someone late in the season that would be different. And I guess you could also ask, is the Big Ten grind,
mm-hmm.
does it wear on you for then when you get to the – get to the tournament, whether it be the end of the season or even just like a Big Ten tournament, how much it takes to win that. Then you get there, and as I mentioned with Illinois, that's worth monitoring. But also, like, if you're Ohio State, I understand how going from playing Illinois then to play Oral Roberts is different and difficult. But at the same time, you're Ohio State. You should be able to figure that out.
Too bad.
And I've always loved this because you're dead on with what you just said. I've always loved how we in the Midwest just feel like the Big Ten's the best conference. So we're like, well, it's a grind to get through the Big Ten. Like somebody in the Pac-12 or somebody in the Big East isn't sitting there going, you don't think it's a grind to get through the ACC or the Big East? I mean, you know, we always do that. We always say it's a grind.
Not the ACC this year.
Well, no, you're right.
Yeah.
But you're right. And it's like, well, okay, maybe. So maybe don't play 20 games against each other. Play 16. Go back to that again.
Pac-12 played 20 this year.
Yeah. Well,
they're 6-0 or whatever. I mean,
somebody just said the Pac-12 hasn't won a title since Arizona in 97. Wow. Who's winning all these titles? Duke and
Kentucky.
Villanova. UConn.
Florida had a couple.
Florida. Is everybody out east?
Now we can sit here and say, why does the Eastern time zone make it more advantageous for players in the tournament?
Somebody said, go back to 16-game conference schedule. Since strength of schedule obviously doesn't help by loaded conference schedule, add more late non-cons.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, no one else did that, though.
Yeah, you're
right. Pac-12 is 8-0, and they didn't add anybody late.
Don't you come in here and poo-poo on my thoughts.
Think about the reverse. If you're arguing the Pac-12 is softer, okay, so they just played a soft schedule and now got hit with all these heavy hitters in the tournament and are undefeated? How does that make any sense then? They just added the donut to their bat instead of taking it off, and they're unbeaten.
This is true.
I get what you're saying. I just feel we're extrapolating a little too much here.
I think you're right. All right, Marcus says recruiting. I've been wanting to ask you this. So I had this thought of, like, you've got Namari Burnett, you've got Ty Washington. If, let's say Kofi's back. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you Kofi and Demonte on next year's team. Trent is gone and Io's gone. Would you rather have Namari or would you rather have Ty to make a run in the NCAA tournament now that you've covered it and now that you know the feel of what an NCAA tournament is about?
Ah, man. You're putting it on me with this one. Jeez. This is tough.
It's hard because Ty looks like one of those guys that he's going to be like Adam was yesterday. Like, yeah. Give me the ball.
He's a top 40 player right now and probably going to go up even further. There's some talk he might even end up being a five-star.
Woo!
Now, Namari was a top 30 McDonald's All-American. And I think some people have forgotten how good Namari is. I think I have. Yeah, right. When you look at his stats at Texas Tech and the fact that he left and all this, I think that there are some people out there who have this negative connotation towards him or just some skepticism. Maybe he's not as good as he was.
That's fair.
I mean, take the sample size of Io. If he played his first 12 games at Illinois, it didn't go well. And if that was it, if that was all you saw, you might be like, oh, overrated or whatever it may be.
Good call. Great call.
So I think that Namari in a new situation, and they're different players, and I know that's, I'm not trying to cop out here.
No,
but
no.
Namari's a great shooter. Ty handles the ball better.
Okay.
Ty is more of a dog, as you would say.
Got it.
And Namari is more of a two-way player than Ty. I think Ty is really electric as a scorer, can pass as well. I just look at Namari more as like a 3-and-D type of
That's fair.
Type of guy that can also do some things off the dribble.
Well, let me tell you, you answered it for me. You said shooter.
Shooter.
And I think that's one team that has consistently hurt, or that's one thing that has consistently hurt Illinois the last decade. They just don't really have shooters. I mean, Jalen Coleman-Lanz was a shooter. Trent Frazier at times has been that guy. I watch these tournament games and see this Boeheim kid or the Reeves kid from Oklahoma or these kids from
Jimmer.
Oh, those kids from who just beat Oral Roberts. I mean,
right.
Or the kid from who was the team that upset Ohio State?
Oral Roberts.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, that little guy, that point guard that could not miss from 90. And I'm like, you need to surround yourself with as many shooters. If you had shooters to that level, and Adam is certainly one, and he hit his shots yesterday, I just feel like if you shoot at a higher level, then a team like Loyola can't do what they did against you.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that both can shoot the three pretty darn well, and it's hard for me to pick between the two.
That's hard.
But as far as giving Illini fans an encouraging word, yeah, like Namari's going to decide here in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
And it's been interesting because there's been a lot of really positive buzz for Illinois, but he hasn't been moving on it. You're kind of like, what are you waiting for? At the same time, you kind of understand he says, I'm going to wait till the spring. I want to see how things play out. It's been a foregone conclusion that I was gone. Like that's been the case.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear now that Trent's gone.
Okay.
Unless something changes.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way it's trending right now. So if he was waiting for that, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But Ty being back in the mix, back in the fold, has really kind of, all right, Namar, you want this spot.
Yep.
You got to make a move. And I don't think, well, you could say, well, Illinois would take both of them. Sure they would.
Well, yeah.
They're not going to. I'm very skeptical that they would play together.
Those two don't want to, yeah.
Both have thought about having enough opportunities. That played into why part of why Ty went to Creighton was just Curbelo's here, Miller's here, Trent might come back. Am I going to get enough of that early opportunity? But I think Illinois has done really well with Namari for a while. I think that there's a good amount of buzz with Ty as well. And they're in a good spot. And I think that getting one of those guys with a sophomore Curbelo, a sophomore Miller, sophomore Hawkins, Grandison back, can't necessarily forget about Hutch, although he's got to prove it.
True.
And then figure out the big man. If it's Kofi and you get one of those guys,
ooh,
you're in a position to, yeah, you can talk Sweet 16 next year and yep, kind of have that kind of a goal.
Yeah, because the growth you saw out of Andre Curbelo this year, he's just going to continue to grow. And he's going to continue to be, I think he'll continue to work on that jump shot, which would then make him incredibly dangerous and somebody I wouldn't want to. I'm telling you, you give me a point guard that's really good, they're going to take you into lands you've never been before in the NCAA tournament.
Like Zagorowski's doing right now to our Ohio squad.
Man, they're hammering him. I had Creighton in the Sweet 16. Schmackdog.
That's been your squad.
They have been all year. And then I bet against them today. And look what happened.
Come on, Ohio.
A lot of game left.
Come on, Ohio.
Ohio just traveled, by the way. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We'll get you up to speed on the Ohio score and the UCLA score. Maybe what else is tonight? What other games are tonight? If you have any interest in watching them, Trevor will be watching Dateline or something. It is the drive.
Long's Garage is the longest-running auto repair shop in Champaign-Urbana, and for good reason. Whether you're looking for new tires from any major brand or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, come to Long's Garage for honest service from ASC-certified technicians. They can help you with tire balancing, tire inspection, tire mounting, tire rotation, and so much more. All your tire needs will be fulfilled by the technicians at Long's, which is a Napa Auto Care facility, meaning you're in the best hands. Visit them today at 503 East Main Street in Urbana for tire service you can trust, 367-3342.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. Ashley Home Store's anniversary sale ends Monday. Save up to 25% off. Plus, shop limited time doorbusters. Or get an anniversary rewards card to cover your first 3 months of payments when you finance for 60 months. Ashley Home Store, this is home. To share the view from our house, go to ilhomestores.com or hit us on Instagram at ilhomestores. Located at 602 West Anthony Drive, Champaign.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm. Allerton Equipment Repair is your trusted truck repair and service center in Central Illinois. Owner Chuck Bailey and his team of NAPA-certified mechanics have an extensive background in heavy-duty truck maintenance and repairs. They understand the importance of accurate truck diagnostics and fast, quality service for all types of repairs. Their team of mechanics are ready to work for you. Open Monday through Friday and Saturday by appointment. Give them a call at 217-834-3470. Allerton Equipment Repair. That's 834-3470.
Earpiece and my headphone fell out. My bad. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, listen up, Central Illinois.
Oh,
Rector Construction.
Long enough. This just
is the.
It's just
reliable.
Now you can go. That's not long enough either. At the downtown to down. Boom.
We're just trying to make it through today. Can't tell. Rector Construction is the reliable roofing, construction, and remodeling company serving the residents of Central Illinois. Giving the communities their key mission as their main desire is to better help Champaign County. As the weather warms up and the dust settles from all the winter storms you've endured, it's time to think about your roof. This is the year to have your roof replaced and to have your crawl space inspected. Call or text Rector, 217-281-7000. Visit them online at rectorconstruction.com. That's 281-7000 and online at rectorconstruction.com.
Trevor.
This hour brought to you by Gerber. Gerber Collision and Glass is open to serve you. All Illinois locations offer contact-free services for your estimate or repair. You can visit GerberCollision.com for details. Get it to Gerber, GerberCollision.com.
Lon. Well, that hour may be by Gerber, but this segment's brought to you by the Urbana Park District. Hey, job opportunities. Who doesn't need that? They need lifeguards now and for the summer pool season. Go to UrbanaParks.org/job. jobs for an application and watch your email for more instructions. Remember, at Urbana Park District, you belong here. Okay, so Ohio and Abilene Christian getting destroyed right now.
Jeez.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
Preston, is that his name? The kid
Jason
that lit
Preston,
up?
Preston, yep.
He just airballed a shot, and then he threw one up that, like, you know how they say brick? All right, so UCLA is going to advance to the Sweet 16. Ohio's got a lot of work here to get back against Creighton, but there is time, and Creighton is one of those teams that can let you back into a game, believe me. But they're still first half, right?
Late first half
okay.
here. What Once Ohio loses, I have nothing left.
Oh, boy.
I have no investment. I'm going to be like
Zero.
Trevor.
You're going to be like Trevor? What other games are tonight? Michigan plays LSU. Alabama yep. plays
Maryland.
Maryland.
And Colorado plays Florida State.
Oh, I'm going to watch that game.
Kansas, USC.
Okay.
I guess if Kansas loses, we could be a little...
No, we would be happy about
okay,
that.
All right.
Because I've got USC in the Sweet 16. I've got Florida State in the Final Four. I've got Colorado, I think, to the next round. Who would
no,
they...
you have Florida State.
Oh, that's right.
Over Colorado.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay, what at the bottom of that bracket then?
That would be Bama,
Bama.
And Maryland.
Okay. I had Maryland in the first round, but I took Bama this round.
Brad Evans' Final Four pick dies on day one.
Eesh.
UConn.
That was his gut bracket.
Oh.
His gut bracket. 39-24, Creighton over Ohio.
Ohio 1-for-7 from the free throw line, according to my
what?
ESPN app.
That's not going to work.
No. That's the bad thing, is if like you get in like this kind of a game and then you just play the worst you've played all year. Well, plus, like you said, Creighton can't miss a shot. I think they just goaltended, right? Offensive goaltending.
Thankfully.
Gee, I can't imagine getting in this spot and playing your worst game of the year. That would be truly awful. Oh,
you know what you need tonight? You need some chicken noodle soup and a grilled cheese.
I'm going to make, we're making tacos.
Ooh, tacos.
You need a margarita with that.
Oh, yeah, you need something.
Yep.
Fireball. All right, thanks to nobody. We'll see everybody tomorrow. That's stuck.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Your Fighting Illini men's basketball team are the Big Ten Tournament champions. Gear up at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini Game Day Spirit. They carry everything you need to cheer on the Illini this March. Basketball jerseys, NCAA tournament t-shirts, and Big Ten Tournament champion apparel are all available, plus more. These items will go fast, so shop early for the best selection. Game Day Spirit, located at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Dr. Ravi Shankar Hasananka. I'm a vascular surgeon with the Cardiovascular Institute at OSF Healthcare. We treat both with open surgery and endovascularly or minimally invasively with ballooning and stenting, blockages in the arteries. And those can be to the legs, to the intestines, and the carotids, to the brain, basically any vascular bed outside of the heart and the brain itself. The majority of vascular disease is related to atherosclerosis or hardening of the arteries. And the strongest risk factors for that is smoking, diabetes, and high cholesterol. If a person's having pain in their legs when they're walking, there's many different things that can cause that, including arthritis, bad hips, bad knees. If it's related to blood supply, it's typically a cramping pain that occurs in the calf muscles or the buttocks and thighs consistently when walking a certain distance. If you feel like you have some of these outlying health factors, you can check with your primary care doctor and they can run some tests such as an ABI to see what your blood pressure in your ankles is and then refer you to us. There's additional information at osfhealthcare.org where you can look up some of this information and also learn how to contact us.
Our Law Enforcement Official of the Month, brought to you by Tapman's Towing. For towing and roadside assistance, there's nobody better than Tapman's Towing. 328-2424. Congratulations to Michelle Kading from the U of I Police Department.
I guess I just want people to know that we get into this profession to help people. That's the number one reason why, like I said, when I was in property management, you know, a lot of my residents were victims. And so I had a great working relationship with the county deputies who would respond. And so the type of work that I'm really interested in is really just helping, you know, those people in crises, whether it be victims of violent crimes or the mental health aspect.
Yeah, and people need to know when they see you, you shouldn't be afraid.
Oh, gosh. I'm not a scary person. I can be, but, you know, I'm probably one of the more laid back and positive.